Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hope everybody's having a pleasant Tuesday. December 7th so far. I know I am, because it feels like every time we come in here, the Memphis Grizzlies have won a game the previous night before. And here we are with the Memphis Grizzlies now, having knocked off the Miami Heat 105-90 yesterday. With them having won five in a row, John Martin, up to fourth in the West. They're doing it all without Ja Morant, and my gosh, all of a sudden, it's the best defensive team, at least over the last five games, in the NBA. They were the worst before this stretch. Now they're the best, again, at least over the five games. Again, they're doing it all without Ja Morant. They continue to. Are you not amazed by this, John Morant?
Are you not amazed? How can you not be amazed at this point? At what the? I mean, that was a very impressive victory last night for the Memphis Grizzlies. They go into Miami there. At one point, that number got up to six-point underdogs against Miami. Now, no Bam Adebayo, but you don't have Ja Morant. And Jimmy Butler did play in that game.
No question.
And that is a good Miami Heat basketball team.
That you held to 18 in the third quarter.
Yes. I guess wire to wire, it was tied, but, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't count with the Elias one.
Okay.
Because you went back to tie.
But effectively, though, wire to
yes.
wire. Yes. You never trailed.
You never trailed.
In these five straight games? Five straight games, you have never trailed. That is unreal. And you know what? Like, for Ja, like the tone's been set. Like, when Ja comes back, whenever that may be, like, this team now is, you know, up. They've clearly upgraded and improved the way they defend. And so, you know, the gauntlet has been laid down for him to come in and continue that, you know?
Why can Ja not be a solid to decent defender?
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason he can't be.
Effort's the main thing.
Exactly.
And if Chris Paul can be among the league leaders in steals every year, Ja, with his makeup, with his athleticism, can get in that sort of line too. Again, I think it'll be a sort of it's a wake-up call.
Yep.
That I've got to pick it up like they did.
Absolutely.
Good thing for the Grizzlies.
Absolutely.
Looks like everything's been good of late for them.
We'll get into that today here on the show. We got a big one planned for you today. 11:25, Jessica Benson going to join us from Grind City Media. Of course, the Grizz Radio Network right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Get your thoughts on the Grizzlies, how they've done it without Ja Morant. Did have to send her packing in fantasy this week. I told her, you know, I sent her a voice memo, because I wanted her to know. I sent her a long voice memo before the game began, and I said, this was like, I don't know, Wednesday night.
This is ridiculous.
And I told her, I said,
you're
I want you to know.
Talking before
I want you
matches?
To know one thing and one thing only. I have had you circled on my calendar for nine long weeks, and you will go down. This will be your humbling, your comeuppance. And what I do.
I think you're taking it a little too serious
when you call
leave those kind of messages.
It's personal.
Yeah.
It's very personal.
If I were her, I'd be concerned. I would tell you, don't do that again.
Yeah. Well, she's trying to play the victim. You know, she texted me on yesterday morning and said, you know, if I miss the playoffs because of you, then I'm going to have to call off my wedding, because I guess she was counting that playoff money.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, let's not act like she's innocent in all this.
She does. They are counting every dollar. She makes that clear every week.
So Jessica's going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk about all that and more with her. Then at 1:05, very excited about this. For the first time in a long time, I don't know how long it's been. It's been maybe since before the season began.
I don't think we had him during the season.
Ryan Silverfield, University of Memphis football coach, is going to join us. Very excited about that. We are going to talk to him about the offseason, about the season that just obviously finished up in the regular season, going to the Hawaii Bowl. And look, there's a lot to get to with him. We're going to talk about the future of the quarterback position.
Yes.
We're going to talk to him about the transfer portal. We're going to talk to him about college football in general.
Calvin Austin,
obviously, and sort of his decision. Mm-hmm. So a lot to get to with Memphis football coach Ryan Silverfield, and he's going to join us at 105. Looking forward to that. Once we finish up with Ryan, we're going to be joined by Myron Metcalf, talk college basketball with him. Obviously, Memphis has a few days off here before they get back in action against Murray State on Friday. And then on Tuesday, it is Alabama coming to town. So we'll get into all that with Myron Metcalf around college basketball. So looking forward to that. That is the show today. But it's a good time, as it usually is. We have a few things that we need to address here. Let's do cap or no cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now, it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John show. And
again, like the voice guy said, lying means capping, right?
That's right.
And no cap means we ain't lying.
That's right. I like the refresher, you know.
We need it. We have new listeners every week.
That's right.
You want to make sure you're refreshing them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I was educated letting when we started know. This, so this is a weekly thing, and we'll start with the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies will get through this week without a loss, cap or no cap.
All right, let's go through this really quickly here. Tomorrow night they have the Dallas Mavericks in Memphis. Now, obviously, the Mavs have had injury concerns. Luka has been in and out. Kristaps Porzingis has been in and out. And, you know, Luka is not that guy, pal, when he's missing players. Like, you would think Luka, when all these guys are out, would just be dominating, and he doesn't. Like, go look at his stats. Go look at his splits when guys are out. He's just not the same player, you know. So I think you can certainly win that game against the Mavericks tomorrow, and they're going to be on the second night of a back-to-back because they play Brooklyn tonight.
They got
tonight.
The Nets, right.
Yes. Then you have the Lakers, who are 500 right now, coming to Memphis on Thursday. We'll see, right? Like, you just never know with LeBron. Like, is he going to play? Who's going to be available for that game? LeBron always pulls some stuff, you know. He tried this time with the COVID protocols. You know what I mean?
False positive.
Yeah.
You say he tried.
Yeah, well.
Hasn't the luck been better of late with him here?
When's the last time? I feel like
the last couple times he's been here, and it was before that when we had the issue.
Yeah, it's starting
and we were crying. We
it's
were
starting
like,
to
every
get
time
like Tiger Woods,
down.
Man, you know? Will he ever come back to Memphis? Look, I think the Grizzlies should win that game. I think they'll be favored in that game. The Lakers don't scare me whatsoever. Like, here's the thing with the Lakers. If you care, you'll win, period. And we know the Grizzlies are going to care. And then you have the Rockets on Saturday. They're one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yes.
Look, it's crazy.
Oh, they have to drop one of them, right?
No, they don't. They're going to win the next three.
Wow.
If they can win against the Heat in Miami, they can certainly beat the Lakers here in Memphis.
That's fair.
The Lakers stink. They stink. And until further notice, I am going to assume that if you have them at home, even with no Ja, you can beat them. Absolutely. Way Tyus Jones is playing, way Dylan Brooks is playing, Desmond Bane. You know, I'm assuming Brandon and Kyle are going to be ready for that one, too. Yeah, absolutely. I think the Grizzlies, they extend this to eight.
Jason, you think?
No, they're not going to win it eight in a row.
You a hater, Busy.
It's not hating.
You a hater.
And stop calling me Busy, because I wouldn't hate like that.
You must then take your pills.
Did you change it from coach?
I don't know which team it's going to be. Probably the Lakers, I would think. But every time we do this, John, when we went through the Tiger schedule, did we say win? What has been LLL?
Oh, don't blame me.
Okay.
For that.
We're not very good at this. And typically, sometimes we jinx them.
Yeah.
And so.
I disagree with
you've already said they're going to win them all. Look, I don't know how you go 8-0.
Who are they going to lose to?
I don't know how you go 8-0 without John Morant.
Who would have thought they would go 5-0 without John Morant?
It's the NBA. At some point, this has got to stop.
But the Lakers stink.
They've been fantastic. Look, the defensive trends, they've literally been number one since that Sacramento Kings win. That goes back to November 28th. So since this five-game winning streak began, they are number one in the league in defensive efficiency, in defensive rating. That can continue. But I don't know how much, you know, Bain, Dylan Brooks, they're going to keep carrying you at some point. Aren't all of them going to have a bad game? I just think the idea that you're going to go, you're getting greedy. You're getting greedy.
Maybe
and so I'm going to go that it's capped. They're not going to go 3-0 the rest of the way this week. They're going to drop one of them. I'll still take 2-1 all day long and 7-1 without Ja Morant.
Yeah, amazing. Truly would be.
Maybe
the question is, do you?
But
think,
I want it all, bro.
Do you think
you
he might be close enough to be back by the end of this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if not, then by the start of next week.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, well, that's a good point there, and we know they'll be patient. But any time that Ja's been out, he gets back early.
Yes,
Ja comes back early.
Well, he's already been
the rest of them. They sort
stuff.
Of. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it feels like we're not far off.
Close,
we're talking about these next three from him actually rejoining. I'm going to go that they go 2-1 though, just because it's the NBA.
Okay.
These guys are playing too well. You know, for the law of averages not to go the other way at some point.
To the Tigers, Penny changed his tune, going from player directed towards himself on his radio show last night. Is that cap or no cap?
No cap.
Well, there's no cap. He didn't, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
no,
a fact.
No cap. That is absolutely right. He had his first radio show. We talked about that yesterday. And he certainly did. He did kind of, I guess, turn it inward to himself. He said he's not going to disrespect any players. This is a direct quote here. It's always troubling when you play these games on the road and you see the kids not really locked in. That has to fall back on me. I have to do a better job of preparing us in practice to be more locked in when we go to these games. We didn't do a good enough job of helping them understand that it was a game that we needed to win, but it was also a rivalry game, so that makes it even bigger. He's speaking of the loss there to Ole Miss. And then he went on to say, it's taken a little longer for the chemistry of the team to come together. The talent is there, but the chemistry isn't there like we need it to be. I have to put that all on myself and take ownership of that. Just have to do better in practice and push the guys towards working together and not apart. So, yes, that is an about-face.
Took more responsibility for it.
That's an about-face.
Probably a smart move, right?
Oh, I mean, I
you had to.
Yes.
Again, you're trying to keep team – you're trying to build and team chemistry, not tear it down. And you certainly don't want to be contributing in any way to that if you're calling out some guys but not calling out or and absolving others. And that's not – you know, that's literally the facts of what it's been the last two games. Veterans, not good enough. Imani's okay because he's 17 years old. Y'all got to expect this, essentially. I mean, that's what it's been. And again, the guys that are listening to that are the ones that pulled together for you last year, are the ones that hit the big shots down the stretch. And I don't see how in any way calling them out publicly lends to that building of chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to recognize your own, it's just what we came in here saying yesterday, your own part in that, how you can contribute as the head coach. And that's, again, I mean, this all stops with you. The buck stops with you. So chemistry issues, turnover issues, all of it, player DNA, jealousy, all of it goes back to you, and it's on you to try to figure out and work through.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a necessary sort of change. Because, listen, John, I listened to some of those fans that came out there. Like, they wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
They had heard Penny the last two games say it's on the players. What they want to know from their head coach, and it's the same with anybody who's in that seat, is what are you going to do about it?
Yep.
So you had to sort of change the tone.
Agree completely.
The Murray State game scares me a little bit here because
this is the
dam, right? If this could be the dam breaking.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that there's no alternative. It's non-negotiable to win this
you
game.
You have to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, they needed to win Ole Miss. They needed to win Georgia. But this one is absolutely, you lose this one, and you're talking about ropes getting let go of.
Well, I mean, look at the way it's scheduled in there. I mean, you're fortunate, quite frankly, to have it between the losing streak and taking on Alabama and Tennessee, two teams that are in the top 10 over KenPom. You're fortunate to sort of have this game there. That said, they can jump up and bite you. Memphis has shown at any point they could play like, you know, one of the worst teams.
Yeah,
in the country.
I mean, look, this is
you lost to 164 in Georgia.
You know, as
you definitely lose
the truth is that as a coach, you can't contribute to your own team's demise.
Right.
Right? Like you can't. Like Penny's comments the last, and I'm sure that somebody like got to him and relayed this. It was basically self sabotage, you know. And then you come in here on Monday, laugh and carry on with that prayer and stuff. I mean, you just give people ammunition when you do that.
Yeah, that was me.
And so, I think this would have been much more needed after Ole Miss, rather than what he actually said. But it still is, Look, it gives me a little bit of encouragement. It gives me a little bit of like, okay, if it really is, like if Penny is really, like if he means what he says and he does take it on himself, like it is the right thing to say. Like it all sounds good, you know, to me. But we also know that like Penny pregame and midweek and Penny postgame are two very different mm-hmm. people. You know what I mean? And so that I think is going to be interesting. Like, again, I fully expect Memphis to beat Murray State. I know they're ranked a spot higher than that, or at least they were yesterday.
They're close on that, the ranker.
And they're going to compete. Like, that's just what Murray State does. But look, Memphis, it's non-negotiable for them to win this game. I'm going to be more interested to see like what happens after Alabama. You know, look, maybe they pull off a major win. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm more interested to see like, okay, Murray State, you get through that. What's the reaction going to be? Alabama, Tennessee. You know, mm-hmm. how do they come out? And look, this is a team where, like, goodness gracious, they have that much talent. You know, would it really shock you if they pulled off one of those?
No.
You know, that's the thing.
I think just as fast as this is unraveled, you can pull it back together, because I would tell you that I think many of the answers are simple.
Yes. Yes.
It would include shortening rotation.
And everybody wants to see that happen, in case there was any confusion about that. Everybody wants to see this team get back on track. Everybody wants to see this team make an NCAA tournament. And everybody wants to see this team make an NCAA tournament run.
But what with shortened rotation, are we going to see the guys that care? Right? That Penny's saying that, right? Understand some of these games are rivalry? Because to me, that's not what's missing. What's missing are the finer free throws, turnovers.
Little things.
You take care of those things on the court rather than the want to and the who. Mm-hmm. So is this game a rivalry game or whatever? How much do you want it? You take care of that. You can fix a lot of your issues. You're winning ball games. We're not talking about how much these guys want it or not.
He also mentioned that Imani Bates kind of came to him recently and thanked him for helping him fall back in love with basketball. What did you make of that? Three weeks ago.
Just major. Just major.
In what way?
Penny's coaching. Being able to pull Imani out of the doldrums. He was done. Right,
like, why are you saying it like that, bro?
What do you think?
Why are you saying?
Because I just want to see the team be better. I'm tired of hearing about all this great coaching. We had to pull. Imani was done with basketball.
Why are you doing this, man?
Because I just want to see the basketball. You're Mr. They said you can't pray for the show anymore. They said.
Why? Oh, no.
Okay, now back. Well, after Penny's prayer yesterday. You had us all in hot water, John, apparently.
Oh, I don't think
so. With Christians and non-Christians and everybody else.
I don't think it was controversial.
Non-Christians
loved
it.
But back to the point. It was all – and now you're mad at me for saying, please.
Yeah, because you're over here.
Let me throw this scenario at you.
Please. I just don't appreciate the sarcasm.
Imani Bates was the cover of Sports Illustrated 15 years old.
Yes.
Oh.
Now, a couple of years later,
he
commits to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And the scrutiny since has pushed him to a point that he's thinking about giving it all up.
The scrutiny that he has never, ever experienced.
Never faced any, that he's thinking about giving up the game that he loves.
Adversity struck.
Now, this is the best 17-year-old in the world.
Right.
Penny has told you that. Best 17-year-old with a basketball in the world.
And he reclassified.
He was willing to give it all up.
Wow. He was willing to
walk away.
Because
of the way y'all talk about him and the way those senior teammates and veterans dog him out when he's on the floor.
Haters.
Okay?
It's the haters.
He was done.
Done.
Future millions over.
Over.
He was going to give it all up.
Yeah.
He was going to focus on
until I talked to him and told him, Imani, you got to fight.
You ridiculous, bro.
Fight through 1 of 10.
You ridiculous.
Fight through it all. And I am here. I'm your wingman, and I'm going to protect you through it.
Yeah.
We're going to get through it together. You buying that scenario that Imani was done?
That's what Penny said.
I need to pull the hallelujah song here.
Penny.
Again.
No, we can't go back to the religion well.
We can't even do that?
And I'm saying this to make the point again that it just goes back to whether you're talking to Seth Davis or whatever a couple of days ago, this is on these players. It's almost like to absolve yourself, right? Or I'm doing the best coaching job I can. It's these guys. And I thought, again, Penny seemed to realize that last night. Listen, I got to say what I'm going to do. But going back to how you pulled Imani out, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like,
Imani's
going to play ball one way or the other. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, like you said.
I don't think he needed to be talked off a ledge.
He was ready to go pro in something other than sports, man.
Is that enough?
I mean, these kids are being pulled on by a bunch of different directions, but give me a break. Like, Imani was done with it. He was about to be done with it.
Yeah, that's
foolish. I think that is a good point you make. Like, you were on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 15. That's like you've been scrutinized well before.
Right.
But maybe he wasn't just, maybe he's not saying it's a Memphis thing. It's just what he's dealing with.
What I'm just saying is, Imani, and this goes for his teammates too.
If they're
pulling that sort of ice out that we talked about that the East did to Michael Jordan back when Mike was young. Mm. If they're pulling that, well, it's for them too. But you have got to figure out a way because the kid is too talented. There's too much at stake, both for you, this team, for him individually, not to get this figured out. Mm-hmm. And what it essentially is this is what you're going to do. Here's how many shots you're going to take.
Right.
When you're in with this rotation, here's how it's going to look. That's how you get through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rather than we had to save him because, man, this thing was teetering with Imani Bates. Mm-hmm. It's got to be answered on the floor. It's not going to be answered with what you say to the media or anything else.
And I also think, like, if you're Penny, like, you have to be a little sensitive to how much you're talking about Imani Bates.
It's just, forget us. I'm talking about the rest of those guys on that team.
Yes.
This constant fence around Imani.
Right.
And let me tell you how I'm dealing with the best 17-year-old I've ever seen.
Just let him just produce. You know what I mean? Like, or don't. Like, he, but you have to let him sink or swim, you know? And figure out the best way to utilize him.
Yeah. I mean, it's on those guys to accept him, but Imani's got to earn it from them, too.
No, I agree completely.
It can't just be, hey, I'm Penny, I'm putting in Imani with you guys now, respect. Imani's got to earn it from them.
Yep.
Any walk of basketball, that's the case.
Yeah.
You
know,
you walk out there, you're too sorry, nobody's going to want to be out there with you. You get what I'm saying? Especially if you're sorry you're taking all the damn shots.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? That's all. This is a higher level.
Mm-hmm. Like
Imani's coming in, getting these shots, and going 1 of 10. You think these guys who took those shots last year in big moments don't feel a certain kind of way?
And I think it's natural.
So
like
Penny has to do everything he can to calm those waters.
Yes.
Not to sort of,
that's right.
Potentially, rile them up.
Like, right. With, like leave my baby alone type stuff. You know what I mean?
I mean, for lack, better word. I mean, it's what it comes off sounding like to those older guys.
But I would say this,
that's any team you're on.
Compare and contrast that to the way that Derrick Rose was brought in here to Memphis in 2008, right? Like, he was very quiet. He was very timid. He was very, apprehensive, and they all saw the talent, but they had to bring it out of him, right? And they wanted to, and they realized that rather than him coming in, taking all the shots, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they had to get it out of him rather than him coming and having to be harnessed or reined in. So I think it's a big contrast there. But I do think just generally and moving forward, be sensitive to that clearly because you knew it would be an issue. You knew it would be a soft spot for some of these guys. It has been a soft spot for some of these guys. And just, let the kid produce or not produce, and then figure it out after that. But, talking about it and all this, how much does that really help? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There definitely was a change of tune by Penny Hardaway at the radio show last night, and hopefully we'll see a different effort against Murray State on Friday.
Last night, did you guys watch Peyton and Eli, by the way? Which version did you watch?
I was actually on the regular version last night. I was on
regular version?
Yeah, I was not on the Manning cast last night.
Okay.
I just wonder if it's worn off a little bit.
Maybe so.
The newness of it.
It was a 14-10 final. The Patriots running, literally, over the Bills, 14-10. Bills should be embarrassed, cap or no cap?
Well, that's what the I don't know if it's the Jeff Calkins of Buffalo. I don't think it's the Jeff Calkins of Buffalo, but it's some long in the tooth columnist up there yesterday said, they only threw the ball 3 times.
Yeah.
Are you guys embarrassed?
They should be.
And
am I missing?
They said no. But yeah, of course. No cap. Of course the Buffalo Bills should be embarrassed. What they were doing every single time. And I will say this, in a game like that, where the elements were so extreme, it was basically decided by one play. It was decided by that long run. That it was a breakdown in defense, and Damian Harris went to the house. Other than that, they played pretty well. The defense did. It's just that one play where, there really shouldn't be any breakdowns in the defense when you know exactly what is coming.
Yeah.
They're lining up with 6 offensive linemen every single time. You know they're not throwing with Mac Jones because they only did it 3 times. You should never allow a 60-yard touchdown in that situation and in those circumstances.
2 of 3 for 19 yards, Mac Jones was.
They didn't even attempt to act like they were passing.
They threw it 3 times.
High school. It's great.
You call yourself, you know, Super Bowl caliber. This is supposed to be the year. And certainly the year that, I mean, come on, the AFC East was all yours. You had everything lined up. It's all coming back to, John, this not having a run game, putting everything on Josh Allen.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all coming back to haunt him now. And they are as inconsistent as anybody in the AFC.
They are.
As up and down. Save for the Patriots.
Well, they flip-flopped every week for the last 8 weeks.
Who all we've said, beating anyone.
Yep.
The Patriots aren't beating anyone yet. Have they beat anyone now this point? Now they're the number one seed in the AFC. I don't know if they're going to stay there, John, but they know how to play their parts. You talk about dudes that know their roles and what to do. Those Belichick's got him on the same page. Got his son out there coaching his tail off, it looks like. But that's a team that knows what it is, has got a purpose, and they don't care what the stats look like afterwards.
Yeah.
They got to just throw it 3 times. Mac Jones will give a damn. He's winning.
Yeah.
In a system that works for him.
That's true.
And that's a team that knows what it is. It's going to be interesting to see how – do they stay there? You know, who knocks them off?
Well, I mean, right now they are
the
favorite
in the AFC.
Because
the Titans can't be healthy enough.
Right?
The Titans aren't healthy enough, it feels like, to get back on top.
Yeah. I mean, you can't trust Lamar right now.
I like the Titans' schedule. It's easy,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that they're healthy enough to stay up there. Lamar is just up and down.
It's still Casey.
They can lose to anybody.
Casey, I mean, you still have to get...
I guess they do look like the ship's sort of righted. They only scored 22 points.
Yeah, they don't... It's not the same.
Something's still off.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Kelsey not involved at all anymore some games.
They're winning, but it's just it's not pretty when they do it.
Because they're going those two safety deep, and they're taking away the big play from them, and it's, you know, occasionally they'll blow it.
The most likely Super Bowl right now, percentage-wise, is Patriots-Bucks.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's a 10% chance.
It's fun to talk about that right now. I don't think that's going to happen.
And then I think,
what are the chances of that?
Tampa Bay would wipe the floor with them, I think. You know, if you think about that return to Gillette, it was windy and rainy, you know. I don't know where the Super Bowl is this year. Oh, it's L.A., right?
And Tampa Bay could stop the run. I thought the Bills could stop the run, too.
Yeah. Well, they did for the most part. They just had
you're right. The one play was
that was the
everything hinged
decided
on it. But still,
then they got the 2-point conversion that really just put them in a big hole.
When all you do is pass 3 times, you didn't stop it enough.
No, it's bad. There's no doubt about that. We have one more, but we're gonna save that because we got to get to Jessica Benson.
We'll talk
to her about the Grizzlies, how they continue to roll. Get her thoughts on Memphis basketball, all that. And
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
More when we get back.
Jason and John Guest appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line. Live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Too much ain't enough of my plans. Nike don't pay me to tell you just do it. They pay me to show you do it again. I can't be pale in my casket, make sure I die with a 10. It's part of the brand. I know that I came with a slide from left to right, but now I don't want to dance. Can I depend on a man? I slide some bread in the jam. That's just who I am. Custom just waving at us from the window. They don't even come on the play.
Jessica Benson is a loser, at least this week in fantasy. She can get back. Catch her on Rise and Grind, Grind City Media, and the Grizz Radio Network. She joins us every Tuesday. She joins us now.
Now, it's Jessica Benson from the Grizzlies Radio Network and Rise and Grind host on 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason and John Show.
Jessica Benson, how you doing?
You're lucky that I like Jason so much, or I would have just hung up
right on
there,
this phone.
On the spot.
Just 1 week. It's just, well, it's technically two, I think, now. But it's just temporary. This too shall pass, Jessica. I promise.
Oh, thank you. You got me on a Green Bay Packers bye week, and
I
have Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. It's a tough scene, but I have to give you the credit.
You got
the win. Congratulations. Big moment. Just remember. I will remember this weekend for the rest of fantasy football eternity.
We'll move to the Grizzlies in just a minute, but I do think that the audience deserves sort of a statement. Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed? Like the way that the Bills are embarrassed? Are you embarrassed?
What kind of question is that? Just like the two Bills players, what kind of question is that? Imagine me walking off, staring you dead in the eye and saying, I will not forget.
You come here every week. That. You come on the show every week. You answer our questions respectfully.
Yes.
How could I do that? How could I possibly put you in that situation? Look, I tell you who's not embarrassed, and that's the Memphis Grizzlies. They seem to have forgotten how to lose, even without Ja Morant. How do they keep doing this?
It's funny because when Ja Morant went down against the Atlanta Hawks, the question turned to looking back at last season when the Grizzlies were able to have some success when he was dealing with that ankle injury and he missed 8 games, and it all came down to how they performed defensively. But based on how the Grizzlies were performing defensively at the time of Ja Morant's injury, it was like, oh, yikes. They can't go that route this time around. But they've proven everyone wrong. A huge part of it has been, I think, Dylan Brooks really sitting in that spot as not just the best defender on the team, but the leader to help that defense go. Watching him on Jimmy Butler last night, that was the difference between how the Grizzlies came out against the Heat the first time around. And I know Jimmy Butler is obviously still not 100% based on last night's game, but it's been so inspiring to see the Grizzlies hold four of these last five opponents to 100 points, and the one who hit 100 was the Kings, and it was just 101 on a last-second shot. So to get through this stretch, it's required a full defensive effort, the full physicality approach. Even looking at what Steven Adams has done in these last two games has been wildly impressive. He's like a brick wall. But everyone has come together to make it happen for the Grizzlies, and that just sets them up in a good spot. I don't think any of us, no matter how positive of a person you may be,
right,
I don't think anyone thought we'd be sitting here right now saying the Grizzlies have won 5 straight games without Ja Morant.
Nope. How optimistic are you that they can continue to play defense at this level or near it once Ja is back, which feels like it might be soon?
Hopefully imminent. We saw him enter the hyperbolic chamber on Instagram with the emojis back soon. So you think that it's trending in the right direction. I think he has to be inspired as ever, sitting on the sidelines. And there's a bit of a FOMO approach to it, too. Desmond Bane was our walk-off interview on the Grizzlies radio broadcast last night, and he said even Kyle Anderson, who's been out the last couple of games, turned to him in the middle and said, man, like, this looks like so much fun. And when you're stuck on the sidelines and not able to be a part of it, it certainly sits in you, it creeps in, and you want to get back out there. And we know Ja Morant, he's someone who's going to study film. He's someone who's going to rise to the challenge. And when he sees the team performing like this defensively, he mentally is going to get himself in that spot to make sure the drop-off doesn't occur.
We're talking to Jessica Benson. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. Catch her on Rise and Grind, Grind City Media, as well as the Grizzlies Radio Network. Here, we were sort of talking about it before you came on in terms of just the next 3 games. It seems almost radical to suggest that they can get through this week without losing. But look, you've got the Mavs who, very in and out with Luka and Porzingis and things like that. Then you've got the Lakers who are old and may not care. And then you have the Rockets who, yes, have won 6 straight. But make no mistake, they're one of the worst teams in the NBA. Those 6 wins have come against the dregs of the league as well. What likelihood do you give the Grizzlies of getting through this week without an L?
It'll be tough. I mean, but then again, when you look at them getting through the last 5 without an L, I'm never going to say never. The Lakers have struggled. When it comes to the Mavs, they're going to want to get revenge on what you just did to them in Dallas. I think it'll ultimately kind of weigh on, is Luka Doncic available? I know he's questionable for the Mavs-Nets game. Is Kristaps Porzingis maybe back in the equation? With those two, that's how the Mavs are going to go. And then when it comes to the Rockets game, like, you don't want to overlook them, but there's also going to be so much added emotion for that game, with it being Zebo's jersey retirement game, that's just a game you cannot lose. So when you look at the first two to get there between the Mavs and the Lakers, it'll be tough, but I think the Grizzlies will come back inspired on their home court. Hopefully there's a good turnout. Three opportunities this week to see this team at home, and they have more than deserved fans coming out and supporting them right now.
You know, we kind of broke down what we've thought of Zaire, at least so far. What have you thought of Santi Aldama? We've gotten some extended looks at him, especially that OKC game. Now, we gotta look at everybody in that OKC game, but what have you thought of Santi Aldama in the time that we've seen him?
I've been really impressed, and when his shot is going, it's, you know, a different story. And like we saw in that OKC game, it's kind of the first opportunity we saw of him as a shooter, of more of an offensive weapon for the Grizzlies. But the potential is there, and obviously the Grizzlies believe in this guy. We've seen him getting these first quarter rotation minutes as the Grizzlies have had to dip into their depth with some of these bench players out over this stretch of games, and it just gives them one more player who is emerging as, I would say, a pleasant surprise. I mean, it just comes with the territory of being a guy who a lot of people didn't have eyeballs on coming out of Loyola, Maryland. And thus far, he's risen to the occasion when his number's been called.
Do you think they can get this Steven Adams, or at least one that's been close to this guy they've gotten the last couple of games, double-double? So, you know, we're not talking Jonas levels yet, but this Steven Adams, rather than the one who, you know, let's face it, hasn't met certainly the expectations of what we thought they were getting when they made the trade for him. What do you think about Steven sort of staying at this level?
I really hope so, because I would love to have him drop F-bombs on post-game interviews constantly. I was a little sad that the TV broadcast got it and we didn't. I'm sure the powers that be would like it to not happen, but he's such a fun walk-off interview. I think in terms of Steven Adams, this has been, you know, what it's been about for him this year is the Grizzlies. When John Morant's on the court, you don't need that added offensive contribution from him, but it's great to get that right now, and to have the two straight double-doubles is huge. But to have him as an effective rebounder, as a monster screen setter, all of those other things that he's able to do, that opens up what the Grizzlies want to do. I mean, last night, like, that man was just, he was a board. Like, I don't want to be on the other side of a Steven Adams screen. I don't want to be fighting for a rebound against a guy like Steven Adams, and to have, 16 rebounds last night and 17 of them on the offensive glass. If he can get more of those tip-ins to go, if I know at this point in his career, if he can be a more consistent free throw shooter, that ship might have sailed a little bit. But just those little things night in and night out will help this team tremendously.
I want to turn you to college basketball, obviously.
Do we have to?
Oh, yeah. No, this is the deal. You know, this is the arrangement that you signed up for, Jessica. And it's the question that I think a lot of people are wondering around Memphis today. How about your USC Trojans? 8-0. Will they ever Yeah!
Brad keeps it queued up.
That's right. Will they ever lose? I don't think so.
Well, this went in a direction that I was not expecting, and I'm very, very grateful for it. No, they've been tremendous. I mean, to come out that game against Washington State the other night.
I like it.
Their first real test, and they edged them out. I think it was like a 2-point win.
Yeah, 63-61, you know, to get that win on the road, as we see here locally, it's tough to win on the road in college basketball.
It is, and if we can be the mecca of college football and college basketball,
Let's come back. Do you have a Boogie Ellis jersey yet?
Not yet, but I might need to get one. It could be the crowd. I don't know if I could wear it out in public in Memphis.
Oh, you
might get a little spicy.
If I'm at the function, you good. All right?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're good with me. Okay, yes, we do have to talk about Memphis Tiger basketball. We had you on, I can't remember, it all runs together now, but you came on and you said, man, you guys are, you know, kind of hard, and then, you know, they've lost two in a row after that. Maybe it was the Georgia game, I can't remember. I guess just what's your own state of the program address right now for the University of Memphis?
Well, as quickly as it's unraveled, they truly do have the opportunity to build it back up. I don't want anyone to sleep on this Murray State game, because Murray State truly is a better team, at least than the Georgia team that beat Memphis two games ago. But then you come right back and you have two more SEC teams ahead of you, two ranked SEC teams ahead of you, and especially considering what Alabama did to Gonzaga and the battle in Seattle over the weekend, Tennessee speaks for itself in that it's a rivalry. You'll have Kennedy Chandler on the other end. So while we sit here and talk a little bit in the dumps, Tuesday feels better. It's freezing outside, but at least the sun came out today. The skies are blue. There's still the sun in the sky. But right now you have to look ahead and say, okay, there is still an opportunity to turn this conversation around. The window is small because, as we know, once you get into conference play, those opportunities for quad one wins and signature wins falls apart a little bit in the American outside of Houston. But that will require a significant change on the court too.
Yeah.
So we'll see what this rotation looks like. Who are these players who are the ones who really want to play, who want to care? Are those the ones who come out on the court on Friday? What does Penny Hardaway do in terms of establishing what his rotation looks like going forward?
You know, you've been here for a while. You've been in the Memphis bubble. So, you know, it's not, I know it's not really new to you anymore. But like, just, you know, as a media professional that has worked in different markets, like, what do you make of just the attention that the college basketball program gets? Like, is it toxic? You know, is there, you know, whether it's us or whoever, like, do we share some, you know, some role in this? Like, just what is your idea of the scrutiny that Memphis Tiger basketball gets?
Well, I think because Memphis is a big feeling medium-sized city, but it feels like everyone knows each other, and there really is this sense of community, and so much of that community rallies around what? The Memphis Tigers and the Memphis Grizzlies. And so because of that connectivity, I think when things sour, it can feel a little more toxic than if you're in like a New York or LA, where frankly people are going to say whatever they want, and there's not a personal level to it.
Well, and there's a million different things there too, right?
Yes.
Like we have two things in Memphis.
Million different teams.
Yes.
Yes. And so the focus is, it's so hyper-focused here. And then you add on the fact that right now when it comes to the Memphis Tigers basketball team, you throw one of the most iconic, beloved figures in the city in Penny Hardaway as the head coach. And it becomes really hard because you want to sit in a space where you're appropriately critical of a team that isn't living up to the expectations that everyone nationally, locally had for them. But you also want to give the grace of allowing a coach to still figure out what exactly his legacy is going to be as the head coach at the U of M. So it's a tricky situation. I don't envy you guys. I don't envy any of us for having to try to figure out how to walk and balance that line. But I think I can say, and I know people always hate in the media when, or at least in other cities, when you say the word we, oh, it's not we, it's them. You're the media. You're outside of it. But no, being inside Memphis city limits, everyone in this city wants Penny Hardaway and the Tigers to succeed. Anyone who cares about the University of Memphis. So it's not about not caring or turning against them. Like, no, we just want to see this be better, and we want this season to accomplish what we were hoping to see here.
Yeah, I agree totally, which is a –
couldn't have said it
better. And I'm the first person to admit this. Like, that is a removal from how I felt about the Tubby Smith era. I did not want that to succeed. I wanted that to end, right? I want the Penny Hardaway era to flourish. I want him to be able to have and maintain that great legacy. I don't want it to end like Larry ended, you know? Like, nobody thinks fondly of that time. And I don't think anybody on this call or anybody in the city wants to see that happen again. So I think that's where our hearts are. And in a place like Memphis, you know, that is what makes it different, right? Because in New York, they don't care about how Joe Judge feels. They don't care about Joe Judge's legacy. They don't care about his family, where he came from. It's just like, hey, dude, you suck. You're out. You know, come bring in the next guy. That's not how it is in this market, and I think that is certainly what sets it apart. Jessica, always appreciate
Thank
your
you
visits
so much
here
for
on the show.
Us,
Thank you.
Guys.
Sorry I had to do what I had to do. Talk to you next week.
Get out of here. Goodbye, Jason.
See you later.
She is Jessica Benson, catch her on Rise and Grind. And I do think, like, at bottom, and look, yeah, we're not running from this. I don't, you know. There was a little exchange last night on social media that I did not get involved with, and I understand exactly why Lester did tweet me. At bottom, everybody on this show and everybody on this station wants the University of Memphis basketball program to thrive and succeed. I mean, that's just I don't mind saying that. I don't, you know, it's just I think it should be obvious. I really do. But right now, it's just not. It's not. And so you have to call, like, we were honest and open about when it was failing under Tubby Smith, right? We every day we came in here and we said, mm-hmm. This is why it's not working. This is why it happened. Now, we haven't reached that point with Penny Hardaway for a variety of reasons, right? It's not the financial emergency that it was under Tubby Smith. And there's still so much talent on this team. But we have to be willing to, like, call it out when it's not, you know, producing, and when it's not performing where, frankly, it should be.
I mean, Ray Charles can see that.
Yeah, Ray Charles literally, Stevie Wonder can see it because he's not blind.
No, you'd have to tell Stevie about it. You'd have to tell him about the 1-10 from Imani.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah.
Well, you keep buying into that.
Well, Stevie's not blind, but he might be if he does watch Imani play.
Let's try to get you serious for a minute here. Big difference. Memphis was a stop for Tubby Smith.
Yes.
A highly paid stop.
Yes.
That, frankly, for the money he was paid, Tubby wasn't putting enough effort in, frankly, with his assistant coaching staff, letting them get over the way they were.
Yes.
That we said, well, this ain't going to work. And Tubby's not pulling in the same way that Penny Hardaway's pulling. We know it matters to him.
Yep.
It's not a stop for Penny.
Exactly.
And so just like we can call them both to the carpet and say, well, this isn't good, and Penny, you got to get this fixed. The difference is we know Penny gives a damn.
No, you're exactly
this is
right.
In his DNA.
Yes.
Like, I know that it hurts Penny right now for this 100%. Team to have lost three straight.
Yep.
He wants it to hurt as much for these players. And so I think we can separate being critical and then rooting for Penny because we know it matters to him. Just like it matters to us, we know it matters as much to Penny getting that thing because it's part of him. That's different than Tubby.
Yes.
Who this was a stop
that was a,
for.
That was a golden ticket for Tubby Smith.
100%, brother. I mean, he had a good situation where he was, and he looked up here and said, they're going to pay me $3 million, Donna. I got to get up there.
Yep.
Even though I don't really – Memphis ain't my kind of scene, quite yep. frankly, but I'm going to go up there and do it because of that check. I can't turn that down. And the fact that I can put Saul back on my assistant coaching staff, this is perfect for us. I'm going to do it. It was a highly paid stop. For Penny, this is his life. Like, this is his DNA.
Yes.
When that thing suffers, he suffers.
Yes, he does.
And so we pull for him for that.
Yes.
But just because I'm pulling for him, to John's point, we ain't going to stop calling it out when it's bad.
Right.
And like I said, if it's this bad and you're saying, well, it's going to be fine, everything's fine, well, then we're all lying to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Then we're not doing Penny any, right? If we're not being real, you're just blowing smoke. Hell, he's getting too much of that as it is.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? This guy, we've said, has got to take a look in the mirror and say, you know what? I think it's believing in what you know to be the truth.
Yes.
Which is, let me cut down on my rotation, right? We'll cut this thing down. We'll get back to the basics. That can work for you, but you got to trust yourself.
Yep.
Whereas I see a guy that decides, you know what, that didn't work, so I got to show everybody that I'm going to make an adjustment or change an offense or throw somebody under the bus to show change when, frankly, I think he needs to be sticking to what he truly believes in. And that's a vote of confidence for him.
Yes.
And we can do that because we know it matters for him. We can root for him in one breath and then be critical of him in the same one. You can do that in Memphis, Tennessee, because we know it matters to Penny Hardaway. I want to see him succeed as a coach. I know it matters to him just as much as it matters to all of us around here.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit up here out.
He's got to be willing.
When he's
right,
got a hand, right? No question.
He's got to be willing to do the things, but you know, grow and be willing to adjust.
But like I said, he knows that. He was saying that this offseason, I got to do this, and this. He said, here's what's coming when I bring in Imani Bates to the table. He knew this was coming, so you know you're in the spot. This comes with it too, not just the high times, but the adversity too. And I think he's up for the challenge.
Right.
Because he's shown us before he can adjust.
And it's always hard, right? It's always hard when you're in a bubble like this and you're losing. You know, everything's going to be exacerbated. Everything's going to be just a little bit more sensitive. You know, ideally, you just don't want to create those problems yourself. You know, let us do what we do.
You don't want to contribute to them in any way.
Yeah, I mean, because we're going to do what we do, right? Regardless. I mean, you know, it's just like don't give people, and I'm including us, like the ammunition. Don't create your own problems in that sense.
Well, they said on Twitter, you're going to hell.
That's probably
true. So, all right. Now, if you've come to terms with that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're ready to be down there and be on fire.
Long ago.
Then we got no right.
Yeah.
Just know.
Oh, I do.
Because I saw them Christians calling you out.
Well, there was one.
Yesterday.
There was one Christian lady.
Why do folks, you're not mocking prayer or God.
Yeah.
You were mocking a basketball coach calling out for prayers for his basketball team that have a set rotation.
Penny asked for prayers. I just did what Penny asked.
I cannot, but maybe I should because we are in, you know, we are still in the South.
It was a prayer request. I just prayed.
But you just had to work for the devil yesterday.
Why was that work for the devil?
Just had to work for the devil. You said I came up here and I'm starting stuff. No, you were starting stuff yesterday. You worked for the devil.
What in that prayer?
Devil said, work for me, and you said, I'm going to take the ball and run, devil.
Jason, what in that?
Penny's prayer.
What in that prayer?
They said you're going straight to hell for that prayer.
Well, one Christian lady
mocking
said,
Penny, one mocking God in prayer.
One very Christian woman tweeted me and said, go to hell quickly, which I thought was very Christian of her to do that. You know, which is, I mean, I'm on my way, ma'am, okay? I'm on my way. Let me get there on my own time.
That's what I'm saying. Let God and John and hell handle that.
100%. You know?
Okay.
Yes. But like, let's not expedite the process. You know, I'm on my way. I'll get there when I get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, sensitivity is at an all-time high. Brother, we lived this 3 years ago. It feels like 3 years ago all over again, you know?
Judgment.
Judgment day is upon us, or upon me.
Go to hell.
But I'm built for this, man. I am built for this. Somebody texted me yesterday. They said, man, you taking a lot of bullets. I'm like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix. Like, I'm falling. Man, give me your best.
Didn't you pray for better team chemistry?
Yes! I pray for shorter rotations. I pray for, you know, Imani Bates take good shots, for more post touches, for Jalen Duren.
Those are all good things.
Why are people upset at me? Why are people mad at me? But you know what? That's fine. I am built for it.
Penny's Prayer Warrior said, you playing with it.
Put the blame on me.
He's serious, but you playing with it.
Remember that Akon song?
Going to hell.
You can put the blame on me. Put it. I'll take it. I'll shoulder it all. These broad shoulders.
Y'all let John handle that.
5'10", 179, I'll take it. Give it to me. I'll shoulder all the blame.
179, you sound a little getting chunky again.
179 is a good place to be.
I thought you were down running the low
170s. 175, 179.
When was the last time you were on that pedal time?
The weekend. Mm-hmm. You're
lightened up a little bit, haven't
sub you? Sub 180, you're in a good place.
Okay.
You know, it's when you get in that 185, 195 range. See. You know, that's
just
where,
so easy for you at 32.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Get to 40 and see if it's how easy it is at 170.
Yeah,
so.
But I can take it. I can shoulder it. Don't worry.
John, we know you can. You're an absolute horse.
Pray for me, man.
Now, you're a horse that's going to hell.
Oh, 100%.
And you're on fire.
Yes.
But you are a
in
horse.
Flames.
And you're a horse for this station. We thank you.
You can't believe it.
Like, going straight to hell.
I walk through a church door, and it's just like engulfed. You know what I mean?
Said you touch the holy water, it starts boiling.
Yeah. I'm like, I might as well be Linda Blair on this show, bro. Like, I might as well, my head might as well just turn.
Take it easy. You might be working for that 666. We don't know.
666.
We got to be careful around here.
Yeah. Anyway, man, pray for me, bro.
In fairness, Penny's the one who introduced basketball to the church environment in this week.
I was just answering the call.
Y'all don't need to do this. Most folks understood it. It was
I hope
just
so.
A,
God bless.
You know, the folks that want to judge, that yeah. want to make John, want to send John to hell.
Am I not worth saving? Am I not worth saving,
well,
Jason?
I don't know. The anti-vaxxers are, but I don't know about you, brother.
You don't know about me, huh?
You don't. They're, well, it was my speech. They're worth saving.
Yes.
It was my speech.
But you don't know about me, though.
John, they said you got to go to hell.
Well, so be it, you know?
For this?
So be it.
You ready to play the hell card after a 3-game losing streak?
No, they played it on me.
I'm just saying, you seem like you're ready to go. You don't want to fight at all?
You can play that. It's like the blaming the veterans thing. You can only play that card once. You can't keep saying it to me again. You know, you only get to say it once for it to really register. You know what I mean?
Y'all, he was mocking Penny, calling to the prayer warriors and the Lord.
I wasn't mocking. I was simply answering. I was doing as
not
asked.
Not mocking the Lord.
You know what I mean?
Or prayer.
And everything that I pray
and
for.
And he prayed for good things.
I want all those things to come to fruition. I said, I want the team to make the NCAA tournament.
Well, Lester said, you said he don't cheer.
Well, that's not what I said. I was just, that was what Penny said in so many words. That the veterans aren't rooting for the young players. Did he not say that?
The veterans.
Yeah. Is Lester a veteran?
Yes.
I mean, regardless, I'm a Lester guy. I'm a Memphis guy. I'm a Penny guy. Let's go, Tigers. Let's figure it out. Let's beat Murray State.
Here's the
Let's
thing.
Beat Alabama. Let's beat Tennessee.
You know what we're rooting for? John and I want Penny and this team to win the rest of them.
Win out.
Yes.
Win out.
What would you give for that? What would you give?
I've already given
that
everything.
That you have right now.
I've already
now,
given so much.
What would you give? What if you haven't given anything this season? You've given nothing.
What would I give?
What would you give for them to win the rest of the games? That's your personal. What are you willing to give it up? Do your part.
What am I, like a possession?
Yes.
You want me to give up a possession?
Yes.
This is like Ash Wednesday or whatever.
Would you give up a pinky toe?
Ooh.
No.
You don't do anything with it anymore. You don't play basketball anymore.
You don't
anymore.
Think
I would, like, I would reserve the right to return to doing that.
Mm.
And you can't once you lose a pinky toe.
Yes, you can.
I will give
you can
up
come back from that.
I will give up my PS5.
Oh, that's pretty
you
good.
You can still get good money for that
yeah,
these days.
It's pretty that's good.
Like, I could definitely gouge that and make like 2K on it. Because there's still a shortage. I'll give up my PS5 for Memphis to win out. That's a sacrifice.
Pretty good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What would you give up?
Yeah, Jason, what are you giving up for this Tigers team to go undefeated?
I would probably give up my son's
I thought you were going to say your son.
Yeah, where are we going with that?
I was like, damn, bro.
No, I want, you know what? You know, it needs to be me. It doesn't need to be something of his.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Your son.
How invested am I?
Yeah.
You know what? I would move back to Raleigh.
Whoa! Wow.
That is. I would move back to Raleigh. Now, y'all got to promise me one of those nice houses on the lake. Because there's some nice lake houses over there, that were never selling. I was
Jason,
never able to get them.
You don't have
now,
to
y'all,
do this.
Check the foundation first, though.
I would move back to Raleigh
you
if
don't
you give
have
me one of those
this,
houses
bro.
On those man-made lakes
this.
In there.
No, it's not worth
it's
it.
It's not necessary.
If you give me every game the rest of the way,
it's not
I would
it.
Do it for Memphis. I lay
no.
it down for Penny.
Don't do it,
that's
bro.
How much I'm rooting for that man.
We don't
to
need
get
you
it
to
right.
go back.
That's how much I'm invested in this thing.
It's not
move
worth
back.
It.
Move back. I'd move. I'd give it all up.
You're, I don't know,
I'd
man.
Give it all up.
You're on an abandoned golf course right now. You've made it, man.
Bro, it's
but,
perfect.
But it's still foot golf, and they keep it very well. It's just
beautiful.
Like, it's just like the course was still working.
It's beautiful.
Just like the in terms of the way they manicured that side.
It's a little bit of a
so
reach.
I'm in great shape.
It's a little bit of a reach. But you don't want
this
to
guy. This
man.
Guy gets from tiny home to
grateful
Southland,
ass.
And now it's we all.
You don't
live
want
in
to give that up,
peasant homes.
You don't want to give that
shacks.
Up, bro. Just to go back to Raleigh.
No, that's what I'm willing to give up.
Mm-mm, I'm not gonna let you do
so
that.
So you talking about here's John? Here's how invested he is, y'all. My PS5.
What about supposed to
go? Rich self.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.